listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This Institute for Strategic Dialogue, you got guys like Charles Guthrie, Baron Guthrie of Craigie Bank, member of the House of Lords, global financier for N.M. Rothschild & Sons, Bilderberg types, Dr. Gary Samore, okay, CFR, Maurice Greenberg, chair and director of the Rockefeller Studies Program. Served as a vice president for global security and sustainability at the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation in Chicago from 2001 to 2005. You know, this MacArthur Foundation, you'll see them all over PBS as well. You know, what I find interesting about this strong city thing is they're always worried about the right wingers is to disarm is the only sure way to safeguard the world. But a lot of the gang violence and the high levels of the murder rate are not right wingers. They're just people of street level criminals. Usually a lot of them fighting over gang turf and drug turf and so forth and so on. And so, it's just they're using this cultural collapse violence. See, none of them want to talk about the culture. If these people, weren't being bombarded by, this nihilistic, crazy, entertainment industry and so forth and so on, you could dump all the guns you want in the middle of the hood and, the murder rate wouldn't be as high. This stuff has permeated the globe, this toxic culture. And cocktailed with basically drug abuse and, just basically free fall of morality and so forth and so on. But I'm going to leave that there. I got a couple more callers. Let's take Bruce in Texas. Come on up, Bruce.
Hello, Robert. How do you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right, great. Yeah, do you want to change gears or do you want to stay with the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency?
No, I don't care. Take it where you want. Take it where you want.
Okay. All righty. What I'm going to ask you to do is kind of clear your mind of what you've heard over this old topic that that almost everyone is familiar with. And I've heard you defend Dr. Fetzer in the past, and I will state that I don't really think that he's a controlled opposition. Intellectually dishonest. I think he may be a bit stubborn at times.
Yeah.
And,
well, aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Work.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. That's true. We always, the way I look at it, I have to back up sometimes and reevaluate everything I think I know.
Yeah, me too.
And don't let my ego get in the way of what the facts actually are. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, go ahead.
As far as the JFK assassination, I'm going to ask you, maybe after the show or sometime when you have a moment, I know you're a busy person, go to YouTube and type in the search bar the Zapruder film, slow motion or super slow motion, okay? I have a military background. I think I've told you before in Marine Corps in small arms and small unit tactics.
So who are you saying did the shot, the driver?
Well, as I'm getting to that, I may not even go into that as who did the shot.
Well, I thought
the
that.
Film.
Yeah.
Okay, but I also have a paramedic background, and I've dealt with trauma injuries for over 10 years. Okay, and a bullet traveling 2,000 feet per second or more, which is the rifle bullet, according to Fetzer, who cites a doctor at the hospital, stated that the first bullet entered JFK's trachea at the precise point to where he actually did a tracheostomy through the bullet hole. Okay, that sounds pretty far-fetched to me, because once a bullet strikes a windshield, which it had to do to reach JFK's throat, it would start wobbling, and so it would keyhole. So a bullet traveling that fast with that much mass, at least 170 grains, would blow open his throat. Okay, you would see blood splatter. You would have carnage there. Okay, all over the front of the shirt. Okay. He does nothing but reaches up and grabs his throat with both hands. Okay. The second thing is, a bullet that would enter his trachea, what would be the next object that it would hit on the way out? It would be his spinal cord, his spinal column. Okay, so he would have a severed spinal column and a blown-out throat with the carotid arteries and other vessels that are right there. And so his head should have flopped over, you know, or he would have been like a chicken that had his head half cut off. But no, all he does is he reaches up and he grabs his throat in the universal sign for choking. Okay. Now, the CIA has...
So what's this indicative of to you? A shooter in very close proximity? Is that where you're going with it?
No, a laryngeal spasm caused by a sudden drug injection.
Okay.
Laryngeal spasm would cause your larynx in your upper airway to collapse.
So are you saying Jackie O was in on the hit as well?
Well, you look at Jackie O, okay, once he's grabbing his throat, she doesn't even look at his face very much, maybe a glance.
Yeah, I mean, I've explored all these angles that Charles, what's his name, Hall or whatever his name, he shot her. He shot JFK, and then I've looked at the Jackie very closely, and they both are plausible to me.
Yeah, well, Jackie looks at Connelly. Connelly looks at her, eye-to-eye contact, and he says something to her, like, do it, or something.
Right.
And then she reaches under his throat, reaches up around his head, and kind of moves him forward, and then his face blows straight up. The whole side of his face, it's almost like a degloving injury where the high-velocity gases get between the bone and the tissue and flop his whole face open.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's a frame caught to where you could actually see like a bullet going straight, almost straight up, actually more forward, like the shot came.
I've explored this where, like, okay, he grabs his throat, and then all of a sudden Jackie comes over, and she, like, acts, she's part of, like, I guess, looking like she's helping him. And the next thing you know, a lot of YouTubers and so forth are like, look, she smoked him from right up, right there. And I was like, well, hell.
Right in front of you.
The hobo's on the hill and all this.
You know, doesn't make sense to me, because you got VIPs all over the place. You got principals. And shooting at a moving object is very difficult, especially at far range.
Who really explores that angle heavy is the Cardinal Spellman, the Vatican Jesuit researchers that really tie Jackie in with Cardinal Spellman and that whole kind of wing of the, you know, of that side of the people that researched the JFK hit. You know, you got the Mossad people with Ben Gurion and all that, but then you've got the, I mean, it's interesting when you get into these Castro types that we're saying, well, we got Jewish backers now, we're going to take care of JFK, but then you get into the, you know, Eric John Phelps and all the Vatican researchers that tie the whole thing in with the CIA and the Jesuits and George W. H.W. Bush and the whole thing. I mean, it's fascinating to tie in Jackie to the hit. And I've looked at that years ago, and I've always been fascinated by that angle.
I mean, to me, it's the most plausible, because where are the bullets going? You know, you're supposed to have bullets coming from a grassy knoll and from different directions. And you got motorcycle cops, you got the governor and his wife and Secret Service everywhere. Okay, and
what do you think about John John? What do you think about John, young John F. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy Jr., and him naming his magazine George to go after Daddy Bush? And, you know, I know he would probably never want to blame his own mother for whacking his father, but, you know, all these angles are interesting to me. And I've always kind of been fascinated by it. See, I'm the type of guy that I like to look at all the different theories, and that actually gives me, that's where I kind of get my, you know, excitement, is looking at all the various angles that people, you know, go with it. And so, for me to say for sure, I won't do that. But I mean, if you're pretty sure, you know, that's fine. You know, I'm not ripping on you or anything, and I'm not going to rip on Fetzer or Jim Mars or Eric John Phelps or any of these people, because they've all got their opinion, and, you know, it is what it is.
Right, right. Well, all I got to say is, you know, the throat impact with a bullet does not make sense to me. I mean, and take it from there. Like I said, I don't expect to convince you, like, oh, yeah, you're right, you know. But most anybody, this other stuff has been fed to us so much.
Yeah, yeah.
That maybe it'll never come out. But
yeah, I mean, I tell the audience, look at the Jackie O angle. It's all out there on YouTube and on various.
She was CIA before she married him. She was CIA in France, and she was recruited in CIA in college.
I mean, anyhow, yeah. But thanks for the call, man. Good for bringing that up.
One more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
One more thing. Somebody brought up to me, because I posted a link to Daily Stormer there on a pretty popular website, and within seconds, somebody came back at me with, oh, how dare you do that, completely avoiding the topic, which was the rigging of the election in Alabama, because
I've got a
girl
that
died in Charlottesville.
Yeah, well, I got a clip on that. Listen to this. They on all over Reddit, they were telling these were articles that were, you know, posted around for, they were telling black people from Mississippi, Georgia, and Tennessee to come vote in Alabama to get rid of this racist child molester, Roy Moore. And then they were even posting phone numbers for bus transport, and the area code was 202-863-8000. And then, just like the Terry McAuliffe in Virginia, registering all kinds of felons, actually still in jail to vote. And so we had, you know, there's vote fraud. It's all over YouTube and various alternative media platforms. And look, this looks like a dirty election here in Alabama as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty disappointed with the AG's office and with Trump for not going into this further, into the vote fraud. I mean,
they know it's an albatross, and I think they're in a catch 22 there. And so the optics here with Moore, even though all that stuff with him signing that yearbook got proven to be bogus, and that lady tinkering with her own yearbook and all that. See, but what you got to realize is the zombies out here, they don't follow stories long enough to get to the truth. They watch TV, and so
it makes a good cover. It makes good cover for voter fraud. You know, look, so many people were disgusted by this that they didn't go, you know, whatever. Yeah. And it makes a good cover for it. But what I was getting at, though, is you look at that. She posted the video of the Charlottesville crash where that girl had a heart attack and died. She was hit by a vehicle.
Heather Heyer,
Yes. That's the second time. I didn't really look at it good the first time. That charger is just like accelerating like crazy straight to the back of that truck, you know, like bam.
Yeah. Well, there's anomalies with that charger too. That's not, I mean, there's.
Well, I'm looking at the Michael Hastings thing. Remember Michael Hastings? His car just races out of control. So was some alphabet agency praying around with his accelerator there, hacked his car, made a crash?
I think that was an orchestrated synthetic event. And so, and I don't, you know, Richard Spencer and all these characters, let's just say I've seen things about them that rub me the wrong way as well. So I think you got a lot of operators on all sides here. And so, like I said, the Antifa's dressing up like, you know, pro-whites there in Charlottesville. There's all the cross-contamination with deceivers and counter intelligence and everything. All sectors are permeated with these people. And so you got to keep your thinking cap on when you're looking at these kinds of incidents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. Well, I got another caller, but thanks for calling.
Yeah, right. Bruce.
All right, man. Let's take Kathy in Missouri. How's it going?
Hi, my battery's running low, and I have a bad connection. If it drops, I apologize. But okay. Catherine Austin Fitz did an interview about Bitcoin with Dark Journalist that I found very informative, and I highly recommend that you listen to it. And I think Jackie, it's quite plausible Jackie may have been involved in that. I watched those
videos. I looked
at
it too, and I was like, hey, it's possible. I'm not saying for sure, but it looked kind of... Yeah, go ahead.
She was a CIA photographer in Paris when she first met him. And Gore Vidal had some interesting things to say because they're half-brothers, sisters. And he wrote about their childhood, and she had no money. She was basically just kind of left no money with, you know, all the wealth around her, but because she was the stepchild of the father that her mother married, she had no money. So she was kind of in a desperate situation. Matter of fact, she was a bit, honestly, she was walking around with no money whatsoever. Yes, she had the fancy dog and the fancy house, but she had no pocket change. She couldn't even buy ice cream sometimes. And so it was interesting. So she was kind of vulnerable. So vulnerable people sometimes, you know, they join things. They might, you know, whatever. And she was also very bright, though, and intelligent women don't like to be humiliated, like he constantly humiliated her, so who knows. But then I think there was the other thing. Oh, and I got bullied out of St. Louis after I lectured you that night. I swear, it was hardcore, and it had really a dire effect on a major thing in my life, and I'm not going to go into any more detail, but I did get tested therein. And I honestly think you should move. It was pretty brutal. Yeah, it
you
was.
You know what? You know what? I took a ride around some pretty hardcore parts of town yesterday because I had to clear my head and do some thinking, but I also wanted to get out and feel the city. And I tell you, it's something's
it's
gonna
heartbreaking.
I mean, I look at the old architecture and I look at these old things that our forefathers built in this town, and I see what's becoming, and it's a free fall. It's a full
blown. Don't forget Charlotte Isserby. You know Charlotte Isserby, Common Core.
Deliberate dumbing down of America.
She has that skull and bones clock in her house, and it's always set 5 minutes ahead. And you know, it's just, you know, the AI, that all of this stuff. I mean, we're in like, it's just not funny. Where we already are right now. So I just say, you know, live well.
Yeah.
Pray
well,
hard,
DNA,
live well.
Our DNA is in danger. And it's just like now this 23andMe and Ancestry and these people basically telling you that they're keeping it into perpetuity. And I mean, what they're and they're probably being fronts for government agencies and Google and so forth. And yeah, our DNA is actually completely in danger, and so the organic human is actually, I mean, we could be the last generation of relatively tinker-free humans designed, you know, by God, nature, whatever you want to say. But yeah, we're going full-blown right off the cliff. Oh, I must have lost her. She probably, her phone went up, belly up, but okay, that's cool. And we're coming up on a break, and you know, we got a lot to cover when we come back for the last part of the program, but I'm sure you guys have been seeing this Pentagon UFO stuff, okay? This is deliberate. Let's pick this up when we come back.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Now, but I was talking, you know, towards the end of the break there, and then Ken hits me up with this. I was going to mention, now this is Ken talking to me, I think the political arguments have been exhausted, and we will be moving into the strange and supernatural. Yeah, we're constantly kind of moving and, you know, transitioning into that as time, and time to me, the slowdown, the acceleration, time I feel is weird and almost manipulated itself right now. Right now I'm going to play something from 2003, Sheikh Imran Hussein. Okay. Very down to earth and straightforward Muslim guy. But listen to this from 2003. We're coming up on 2018, almost 15 years ago. Listen to this clip four, Ken.
Why so many Saudis? It's suspicious. And why these middle-of-the-road Saudis? The answer is because Saudi Arabia, the government of Saudi Arabia, has a friendly relationship with the United States. In fact, there is something common between the state of Saudi Arabia and the state of Israel, which would surprise you. They are sisters. The same forces who work for the establishment of the State of Israel are the same forces who work for the establishment of the State of Saudi Arabia. The same forces who have kept Israel alive today and guaranteed Israel's security are the same forces who have kept Saudi Arabia alive today and has guaranteed Saudi Arabia's security. And when the State of Israel is to be destroyed, Saudi Arabia also goes down into the garbage bin. They're sisters. And the September 11 attack on America is in many respects a parallel to another attack which had occurred many years earlier. There's a parallel between the two. That one was in the summer of 1914. Okay? The assassination of the Grand Duke Franz Ferdinand in Sarajevo. And that attack, that act of terrorism, launched the First World War, the big war. Similarly, September the 11th, the same forces at work in the summer of 1914 are the same forces now at work, September the 11th. With that attack in Sarajevo, Britain, which was the ruling state in the world, now during the First World War, has to yield to another ruling state, namely the United States of America. If you don't understand, go and read your history. Now, with September the 11th, the attack is now on the United States to bring down the United States as the ruling state in the world. But in the process of bringing it down, the United States have some very important work to do for Israel. I can identify tonight two very important things that the United States has to do for Israel. There are many more, but there's no need to do more than simply two. In order for Israel to succeed the United States as a ruling state in the world, not only must the U.S. economy collapse and the U.S. dollar collapse, and when the U.S. dollar collapses, it brings down the whole world of paper money with it. And if you don't believe me, just wait. Just wait. Not only must the United States collapse its economy and its money, but in addition, Israel has to wage a big war, which even non-Muslim political analysts are now anticipating. A big war. Even Jews now within Israel, I'm getting emails, they are now understanding that there's something big about to happen. And they're warning the world about it. Of course, it's too late now. Israel has to wage this big war, which is already planned long ago. And the territory of the State of Israel will dramatically expand. And the Palestinian problem will be solved because they'll be exported out. That is the massive human rights crime that the Israeli academics are now.
All right, so, yeah, Ken said it stopped, but you got the gist. That was from 2003, folks. Now you're seeing, the Bitcoin thing coming up. We're going to see whether our dollar has issues, but then you're seeing, he mentioned basically your Greater Israel project there. Like Bibi Netanyahu said, once we're done with the United States, it can dry up and blow away. The PNAC vision, it's all there. Quite fascinating. I stumbled back across that today. So last half hour coming up.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Can get clip 12 ready. Now, this is a short, basically, explanation of, you know, it's you know, people were sending this guy info, say, oh, China owns California now, blah, blah, blah. And knowing that China is basically an outpost, another one, a communist outpost set up by our State Department, supporting Mao over Chiang Kai-shek, and the whole John Birch Society was born during these years. But you get into the skullduggery with the creation of the Chinese communist regime. It's another type of Saudi Arabia. It's another kind of, you know, it's just another state that was created by the money changer elites and, you know, the religio-military power of the world. But I wanted to play clip 12 because it's a good explanation. But what he doesn't mention is where does organized Jewry, the Pharisees and the money changers, really fit into the equation? And after the clip, I'll try to play that. I'll try to fit that in. Go ahead and roll clip 12.
Put it in here. All of you that are emailing and sending me notes about China owning California. Excuse me, folks. That's a bunch of bullshit. I was in Wall Street for 25 years. The world is a corporation. You've got to understand that, a corporation. That's how they hide it. Your debt follows you anywhere in the world. I don't care where you are, except for three countries. Those three countries are called North Korea, Iran, and Syria. You understand this? There's one bank that clears all banks, the Bank of International Settlement in Switzerland, Rothschilds. That's where the Federal Reserve clears it. They control it all. It's not a country. It's the money, folks. Follow the money, okay? It's all over. So China is not owning the U.S. It doesn't work like that. That's not how the legal system in there is set up, the international laws and all that. It's who owns the money and controls the money, owns it all in the corporate papers. That's why the Queen owns most of the land, the Vatican owns the Queen, and we're the U.S., whatever we are the military arm in the trilateral. All right? You need to understand that. Washington, D.C. is the military. City of London, what is it, 1.5 square miles, is the banking, owns all the money, and the Vatican owns everything from there, the religion. That's how they operate. It's been operating for a very long time like that. So please don't think that China, yeah, they've taken all our debt. They got $1 trillion in debt. They're using it to buy a bunch of houses here and everything else. But they don't own it. Just like people found out, they don't own their homes. They've been gutted out of their homes, and they don't even own the homes anymore.
That's why we're constantly pointing weapons at Syria, North Korea, and Iran. No one is immune from this New World Order takeover.
And remember, Libya was part of that list. And, you know, I was watching some of Gaddafi's. You know, the guy was quirky. I was watching some of his, you know, speeches and lectures in the last few days. It was quirky, but the SOB was right on. And he was part of that list. Now it's down to those. What happened when Hillary and Obama and the French took out Gaddafi, and then he's sitting there getting tortured right there on video? What's the first thing they did? They set up a central bank. I mean, this is, but here's where we inject Jewry into the equation, where he's talking about Washington and the military. He's talking about the city of London, the banking, and he's talking about Rome, the religious, and he says it owns it all. But okay, who owns Rome? Who's penetrated and went after Rome for all this time? Now, see, this is where you get the Michael Collins Piper versus Eric John Phelps debate. This is where really the crux of the matter is. Okay, is Rome still Rome, or is Rome penetrated by basically the money power? And, you know, a lot of the infiltrators, Pope Paul VI, Montini, comes from a Jewish family and so forth. And, you know, in the Jesuits, do you believe that they were a crypto-Judaic gang like Edward Hendry? And a lot of the Jesuit researchers, is this one big psyop and the Jesuits are now basically moving on Jewry, the Weinstein, Franken, all this whole takedown? Or do you believe that all these guys are falling on their sword to get Trump? That's what a lot of people are saying now, that this entire sexual takedown is actually all basically, collateral damage just to get Trump out of office. I mean, you guys got to make up your mind here. I see all these paradigms and theories thrown around, and I banter them back and forth in my own mind, and I know you guys do too. My job is not to tell you, hey, it is this way. Hell, I don't know any more than you do. I'm not some brainiac. I'm just a dude trying to make his way in the world, trying to figure it out, just like you are. And you know, when you see these people out here that tell you they know and for sure, and they're you know, and they're so sure of themselves and they've got it all figured out. Well, guess what? Those are the biggest dipshits in the room. All right, those are the biggest clowns out here. The ones that got it all figured out. Okay, now let's move into this. I wanted to get this out here. Throw this word out there, and you can use it. The kosher caliphate. I was thinking about the Zio caliphate that I was always talking about the last, you know, year or so. The kosher caliphate. I mean, this is what we're seeing built here with Erdogan and the Saudis and so forth. Now, listen to this. Ken, cue up 13. And I want to, this is Avi Lipkin, who also goes by the name Victor Mordecai. He's one of these Jewish guys that he rolls around in Bible prophecy circles real heavy. So he's buddied up with a lot of the kind of Christian Zionist eschatologists. But I just want you to hear, basically, this is what the Christian Zionist world is getting imbued with, coming from the kind of like the militant Likudnik, I would say, side of the house that they interview, so forth and so on, on Christian TV. So let's roll 13.
Well, the Saudis feel very, very threatened by Iran. You have to remember that the Iranians have a very, very strong grip now on Iraq, which is north of Saudi Arabia, northeast. They have almost completed their grip on Syria.
Mm-hmm.
The proxy of Syria is Lebanon. Lebanon is still in total control by Hezbollah, which is backed by Iran. They control Yemen,
mm-hmm,
to the south of Saudi Arabia. The rocket that was fired from Sana'a, which is the capital of Yemen, by the Houthis. We have to remember that Yemen, the northern part of Yemen, is only an eight-hour drive from Mecca, the holy of holies of the Muslims. The Iranians want to take this from the Sunnis, from the Saudis. The Shiites of Saudi are in tremendous turmoil, greatly persecuted by the Saudi kingdom. We could theoretically see an Iranian invasion of Saudi Arabia from the east, whereby the Iranians come to liberate the Shiites. You have 17 million Sunnis and 2 million Shiites. And all of these Persian Gulf countries have very, very big Shiite populations. This is the mother of all wars now between Iran and Saudi Arabia. It'll be very interesting to see how this develops.
And, of course, all this plays into Bible prophecy in that the major players, Sheba and Dedan are mentioned, and those would be the tribes of Saudi Arabia, are mentioned in Ezekiel. And, of course, Russia is mentioned in Ezekiel, Persia. All these players that Christians have been watching now for decades, trying to understand what's going to happen prophetically in the Middle East, I think should be very excited by these latest developments.
Also, two things. We have to remember that the kingdom of Saudi Arabia is modernizing. The young princes and princesses get a very good education in the West, and they come home. And you know what happens when they come home? All of a sudden, they have to be very strict, fanatic Muslims.
Right.
There are a lot of people today who are chafing under this very strict, fanatic Muslim type of rule or life. And so there is now, I believe, an attempt by many of the leaders of Saudi for, I don't want to say a reformation, but a modernization. And even women now are being allowed to drive. This is a revolution in Saudi Arabia.
That revolution could be a destabilizing element.
And that could be. Definitely
all right,
is.
Let's stop it there. Now, there's so many things at play right there. They know, look, like the Sheikh from 2003 was saying, these are two sisters, okay? And so the optics for the Saudis to maintain the loony Wahhabi, head chopping, women can't drive stuff. The cabal has probably told them, look, man, you guys gotta, this is, people are figuring it out. Why the hell is the West supporting you guys when you're the most draconian bunch of goofballs out here? all the madrasas and so forth and so on. But see, here's a, and let's tie this in with, I was listening to Rents and Jay Widener the other night, and they were talking about Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, big Fox News. Maybe he owned a large portion of Twitter. I'm not sure he was the one that was involved with Fox. It might have been another prince, though. But anyway, the new Crown Prince Salman, Mohammed bin Salman, Rents and Widener were talking about basically that this could have been the Las Vegas operation could have been basically an assassination attempt on the Crown Prince, because they're maintaining that the Crown Prince was in Saudi Arabia on October 1st. And so, and then after Vegas, if you noticed, this is when this big roundup and purge, I guess, and whatever you want to call it, of a bunch of the royals in Saudi Arabia happened. So now there's people basically theorizing that Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal was involved with what would look like was a big operation to run cover for an assassination on the new crown prince, okay, who's done some things in the kingdom. Now, let's say with Trump and so forth, now let's look at Al-Waleed bin Talal. You know, I was watching Dreams for My Real Father again. I own the DVD. And, you know, he's actually mentioned in that DVD, and this was way back, done when Obama was running for president, the big expose on Frank Marshall Davis and the communist stuff, and all the weird stuff with Obama's family and his mom and probably his dad, Frank Marshall Davis. But Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal's mentioned in that movie. So this guy goes way back. And, you know, him and Trump had this big dust up on Twitter and so forth. And so, quite a fascinating theory that this was actually an assassination that was going to be covered by a much larger operation. And so I just wanted to put that out there. Now let's shift gears a little bit. Eric Dubé, okay, the big International Flat Earth Research Society guy, author of a few books. I own a couple of his books. And I don't agree with some of his stuff when he talks theological things and so forth, but he's written a couple good books. He's been banned from YouTube, deleted permanently from what they're saying, and off Google Plus and so forth. And so, and you know, Eddie Bravo, who's a jiu-jitsu guy, one of Joe Rogan's partners, and it's always on Rogan's podcast. Bravo was a real pusher of Eric Dubé and his research and so forth. So Dubé's gone now. So this purge continues. Let's see. Hey, Ken, let's do clip 8. Let's get this one ready. And this is about net neutrality. And this guy makes a good point. I'm going to let it play for just a little bit. But think about when the censorship and the real crackdown happened. Let's listen to a little bit of clip 8. Go ahead.
I feel about net neutrality. Now, the term, the concept, to me at least, it means free speech, no censorship, right? Now, these rules were implemented in 2015. Let's not forget this. In 2015, these rules were implemented. There was no net neutrality rules before 2015. Were we being censored before 2015? Please remind me. Were we? Was everybody still be able to go on YouTube and all these other channels? Nobody was being censored. All these blogs, everything. Was anybody being censored? I don't recall this. As a matter of fact, I feel there was less censorship, right, before 2015. Now, what is censorship? So before 2015, you could tune into AMTV here on YouTube. You could tune in to all these other channels. You could tune into anything you want, right? It was a free internet before 2015, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Was I just living in an imaginary world? No, I don't feel that way. So let's take a look. The only time there was censorship after these rules were implemented, These rules were implemented by Obama and Google, who was at the White House like literally every day trying to get these rules to pass along with other lobbyists. So after 2015, this is when censorship happened. Oh, but Chad, how's it censorship when we can click and watch your video? Well, let me explain why. First of all, before 2015, you couldn't click and watch a video. Is this what you're saying? Before 2015, before these rules were implemented, before the government wanted to take over the internet, you couldn't click on a video and watch it? Of course you could. This is all manipulation. So after 2015, after Trump won the election, if there was real net neutrality, then why were we being censored? And let's understand censorship. Even the CEO, Eric Schmidt of Google, said they're going to take political views, put them in a dark corner. So searches, recommendations, monetization with ads, censorship, blocking us from searches. You've seen some of our videos completely blocked. You've seen other news channels, alternative media news channels, who put out...
All righty, I guess we'll be back after the break. No. Okay, cool. So this is the upside-down nature of language right now. So... did you see how basically all the Tom Hankses of the world, the entire left-wing buffoon squads out here thought that Ajit Pai and the vote by the FCC, oh my gosh, see, the right-wing fascists are cracking down on the internet. No, the left-wing Marxist Bolsheviks cracked down on the internet like 3 years ago under the dreams for my real father, Obama. And so now, look. I tend to agree with the people that say, look, this is just upside down language, and the killing of the net neutrality is the killing of the Marxist, basically red terror language that got implemented under Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, and the rest of the commie squads that took over the Democratic Party. You know, I'm rereading Cleon Skousen's book, The Naked Communist, and right at the beginning. It was the head of the AFL-CIO. This is how far we've fallen. He quotes the head of the AFL-CIO way back, 50 years ago, talking about the struggle of our time. It's the struggle between freedom and communism. And I mean, now look where we're at now. And talk to somebody from the AFL-CIO in the leadership position that has even got the balls to talk about the struggle between communism and freedom. This is where we've fallen. See, the old labor movement of way back when, there was a lot of patriotic people in there that just wanted to get a decent wage and a fair shake, and they didn't want to overturn American tradition and society and implement communism and Marxism. Of course, there was always that element in the labor movement. There's always going to be in a labor movement. But like here in the United States, unfortunately, the hardcores that were in the labor movement, they basically lost out and so forth to the communists. What was I going? Anyway, clip 14, Ken, get this one ready. And this is what Ken said, and this ties in with it. With the Pentagon UFO stuff. And Ken said this: now that at least half of our population is suffering mental illness, they're going to hit us with aliens and crafts that fly and so forth and so on. Now listen to this. This is another Bible prophecy gang. This is Tom Horn's organization, Skywatch TV. Let's roll 14.
It's on the screen. I should waste no time to introduce our guest. We welcome back to Skywatch TV, Dr. Michael Heiser. Mike, good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you again.
Mike, how would a Christian worldview respond, or how should we respond, if by some chance an actual legitimate extraterrestrial should show up?
Yeah, I'm glad you changed your wording there, because that is the correct wording. How should we respond? I think we should respond with the appropriate wonder. Even gratitude, just to me, it's another vote for the magnificence of creation. But at the same time, you know, if there is messaging involved from, you know, said aliens, we should also approach the subject with caution, because again, that's really the issue for me and for lots of other people. I'm not troubled at all by an extraterrestrial reality. There was intelligent aliens, and we can talk about why. But for me, it's always about what are we being asked to believe? What are we being told? And I'd have the same question of an extraterrestrial. You know, why should I believe you're telling me the truth? Just because you exist, are you a truth teller? I mean, that question is still on the table.
You know, I think that brings up a really good point, because even in this question, this is kind of two separate issues, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about the grand, you know, big question, the big topic of could ET life actually exist within a Christian worldview? But then we also have things like gray aliens and mantids and all these weird things that seem to promote an anti-Christian message. So what is the difference between these two questions here?
Yeah, the gray alien talk, I mean, as we've talked about before between the three of us, and really including some of the other panelists and co-hosts, you know, the imagery of the gray alien, again, has a discernible history back into not only folklore, but also, again, comic books, media, you know, tales of demonization. I mean, there's actually a very long, convoluted history to the images that we associate with alien life. For instance, if you looked at fairy lore, we tend to define fairies by Disney movies. Okay, that is not what we're talking about.
You can stop again. Another weird one is Aleister Crowley's drawing of Iwas, this being that dictated the Book of the Law to him. Very much resembling what people say is their little alien experience. And we know Crowley, I was talking about Crowley to some folks, we got into a big Scientology discussion, and the whole thing with Clearwater, Florida, and the Sea Org, all the people running around their little fake Navy uniforms. And, you know, it's interesting that some people, Leah Remini got some people into, you know, finding out about the interesting theology of the Scientology church and so forth, you know, the Thetan. Remember I talked about the Thetan, Satan with a lisp, Thetan levels and all this. It's just, I mean, it's crazy. And then Jack Parsons, of course, Hubbard and Crowley, these contemporaries, you know, the whole thing with NASA and Jet Propulsion Laboratory and Parsons and Babylon Working. And, you know, one of the listeners was sending me all this information about the Process Church with Berkowitz and Manson and all these various people connected with this Process Church, and just all the weird things that happened at that, you know, 60s and 70s. My gosh, the onslaught of like Rosemary's Baby, which I covered a couple weeks ago, but we're coming up to the end of the show. But I mean, I'm trying to just tie some things up here. Harvard on their website, Open Geoengineering Talk now. Enter the Stars to YouTube channel. Watch the thing on Sacramento. Very freaky. Very freaky. Enter the Stars YouTube channel. I didn't get to this Jordan Peterson clip I wanted to get to. Joy Behar in 2006 on film groping Robin Williams' crotch, his junk. And she's the Miss Anti-Groper on Trump. So look at that. That's, you know, this double standard here. Will the AI give us telepathy? This is like the new push to give us, like, you know, Neo Matrix like powers. If we go into the whole AI world, that's how they're going to suck people in. They're going to make you superhuman. Here's the song, and we'll see you guys next week. Oh, we probably won't. It is Christmas Eve next week for Christmas. Yeah, we'll see you next year. I need a couple weeks off. Ken, thank you, man. All the callers and listeners, thank you.